Okay, so a couple of small haaros before we get to today's main topic. We have two topics for today. One is Bloris and haircuts, and two is Karvla Malchus. And I also have some further haaros, especially in light of some points that Dr. Moshe Siegel, who's with us, pointed out to me after shiur last time. We'll see if we have time. On alternative medicine issues from last time. So I'd like to go back to that if we have time. First two, just small ha'aros. I saw the Minchas Chinuch says, this is in Reish Samach Beis Daled, that maybe we could be makel for Psik Reisha in Amir Lenachri. And this might relate to the idea that we'll see Amir Lenachri. Chukas Akum. Something for this guy. All right, sorry. I'm a little tired today. So Chukos Akum. And this approach makes a lot of sense based off of the idea that we brought up really in our first year, that the gather of the Isser is hinges our upon our intention to copy. And therefore, if we're not intending to copy, then perhaps it's not a violation. The Bach uses this theory to explain the Heter of Karvla Malchus, as we'll see. He's medayik it from the Psukim. He's medayik it from the Lashon of the Sifrei that we saw at the beginning. And it's for those of you who learned Shabbos this year, it's reminiscent of the Minchas Chinuch theory by Mechatech. Minchas Chinuch by Mechatech said there's no such thing as Psik Reisha, because the gather of the Melacha is to be Mechatech B'Kavana. So if it's not done B'Kavana, then even if it's inevitable, but it's still not going to be Aser. Along similar lines, though going maybe a little bit further, maybe it's not even similar lines, but anyway, I had an association with it. Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlo, in his beer on the smug, which is Rasag, which isn't a beer on Rasag, it's just his excuse to talk about whatever he wants to talk about. But anyway, he brings up Ibn Ezra, who says that v'chukosam lo seilechu shlo yargil adam. In other words, v'chukosam lo seilechu means you can't copy them to the point that it becomes a chok. It's almost like Rav Moshe and Thanksgiving. So there's no iser d'oraisa at least until you're margil atzmo. Doing it once or twice isn't necessarily aser. I don't think we necessarily paskin that way, but it reflects perhaps a similar type of idea. And another mar makom on that topic, relating to the haircut issue, but focusing on kavana. So there's a letter from the Chazon Ish. It's in a Kobetz Igros Chelak Gimel Igaris Kuf Nun Beis, and he says, "Im Amnam Roi Lirei Hashem Yisbarach Lintos Bilvushim Uveshar Inyanim Uderach Hayosir Tznuah Kminan Chaverim." In other words, you're supposed to wear black and white. I didn't say that, but he said that obviously. Yirei Hashem should dress in a particularly sanua way. V'hefrisha ha'chitzona enana simen yafe al ha'pnimius. Aval isru chukosam lo seilechu, eno ela b'misave lehizdamos ohem. So even though we saw in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch emphasize the importance of having a distinct Jewish dress, and not copy the Goyish dress. But you're only in violation if you, like the Bach said, if you are intending to copy them. And this is certainly in keeping with the position of the Ma'arik, who emphasizes that it's dafka by copying them and intending to copy them that you're giving them chashivas and the like. Not just wanting to be fashionable. So we declared is being fashionable. Aser, we said it's certainly not aser for the Ramah. Questionable according to the Gra. I don't know how the Chazon Ish is paskening in terms of that question, but he's saying that you're certainly not over lemaisa on the iser chukos akum if you're just trying to look nice or fashionable and not intending to copy them. So I'm sorry, he does sound like the Gra would agree, right? So we were clarifying, would the Gra agree to fashion? And he thinks yes. And then he quotes the Rambam as well. So that's interesting. And one of the things that we'll see today in just a moment is the sheet of the Bach by haircuts that, like, perhaps Chukos Hayam just trying to, especially for a man to like look, worry too much about his looks is a violation, not just of perhaps Begadisha, as we'll see shortly, but even Chukos Hayam also Leichu. But the Chazon Ish doesn't sound that way. It's only if you're misconfident in Stamos. So that was one small marmakom before we get to our main thing. Another small marmakom from the Minchas Chinuch is Mishnah Aleph, Sifkat Aleph over there. And it's also cited by the Darkei Tshuva over here, Simen Kuf Ayin Ches Sifkat Hey, that first of all, the gader of Chukos Hayam Lo Seileichu is totally b'chol dor v'ador. Sounds like you're saying bein l'kum ala bein l'chumra. In other words, the opposite of the Ireim. So even though the Beis Yosef over here cited the Ireim and didn't explicitly say he's disagreeing, the presentation, as we noted, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to be like the Ireim, who says that there's a fixed definition found in the Tosefta in Masechta Shabbos, aleihem lo lahosif and lo lagrawa. And then the Beis Yosef says to be miyashiv what people do, which is us, or even according to the Tosefta, he says, well, maybe only the thing cited in the Gemara Bavli. That doesn't seem to be the accepted view. And certainly the Minchas Chinuch emphasizes that it changes from time to time and place to place. An idea that we'll see again today in the first Taz in our Siman with respect to issues of haircut and the like. Another interesting question, again, we raised this question, so just a couple more marmakomos on the topic, is the Isser to be like Gayim or to be like idolaters? We noted that the Rambam pretty clearly thinks it's to be like Gayim. That seems to be the impression you get from the Shulchan Aruch as well. However, there are some poskim who seem to poskin that it's dafk idolaters and not Gayim. It's Chukos Akum, not Chukos Agayim. Though this doesn't seem to be the mainstream view. If you take a look at the Shiur Bracha on our Siman, Shiur Bracha is written by the Chida. At least in my version of the Shulchan Aruch, it's in the side of the page on the Otzer Mefarshim. This is also quoted in the Darkei Tshuva as well, Sifkatan Zion. It's Sifkatan Beis in the Shiur Bracha. And he quotes some Sfarim, including the Shelos of Tshuvos Kehunas Olam, and others who say, in other words, even if it's miyuchad, which we saw, everybody seems to accept in the Rambam that if it's miyuchad, it's aser, and that's dafka miyuchad to Odeh Avodah Zarah. In the Darkei Tshuva, the way it's quoted is maybe still to be machmir if you're like copying the imam, but at least if it's miyuchad lishme elim that aren't the priests, might be different. So there do seem to be some poskim that say this, and some poskim who go so far as to almost do away with the whole Isser because of this point. In other words, in a practice, there are very few things that we do. Well, we talked about the Red Bentals today, the Schlissel Challah and the like, but I meant most of our Shilas are certainly not trying to copy idolaters, or also maybe even That is, there are those that are makel on those grounds. Again, from what we've seen, that's going to be, it's not the pashtus in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam and the like. Okay, so those are just some leftover marmakomos from past shiurim. Now for today's topic. So bloris. So the Gemara in Bava Kama, Pegim Olad Aleph quotes of Raisa, Misaper Kumi, Misaper Kumi, we'll see, is like, I don't know, growing your hair long in the back, maybe like a ponytail or something sticking out of the back of your head. And we see the Braisa here emphasizing that one is in violation of Chukos Akum. In this case, Darkei Amori, I think, certainly means Chukos Akum. So one's in violation of Chukos Akum by growing hair in particular ways. We saw this as well in the Midrashei Halacha that we saw on the first day. In terms of the concept of Bloris, so this comes up in four different sugyos and shas. We're going to be focusing first on number three and then on number four, but I'll just tell you what they are. And we'll mention them briefly just in order to be thorough. The first one is that there's an isser of maso matan with gayim on yom taglachas bloriso. It's a mishnah in Avodah Zarah in the first parak. And one of them is Yom Taglach HaZiknov Loiso, and that is also Paskin in the Rambam and Perek Tes Halacha Hay, and in Shulchan Aruch Yeradeya Kuf Mem Ches Sif Zion, that on days where they have idolatrous festivals and things like that, then it's Aser. And one of those is Yom Taglach HaZiknov. That is not our sugya, so we're not going to be focusing on that. The second one is when a Jew is a barber and giving a haircut to a guy, so they have to be careful not to leave, you know, give them one of these blow-wrist style haircuts. It says in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Tes Mod Aleph, Ov Chavim HaMistaper Em Yisrael, Kevin Shi Higia LeBloiso, Shomedes Yado, Kama, and the Gemara explains what you should do. So why is this Aser? Presumably, this is also because it's some type of misayaya to Avodah Zarah. Rashi says, well, we saw Shumagada, Avodah Kochavim, so we shouldn't have any role in that. We shouldn't participate. And this is paskind in the Shulchan Aruch Yeradeya, Kuf Nun Vav, Sif Gimel, Yisrael Mastapris of Kochavim, Kevin Shigia, Samach Lavoriso, Gimel Atzbaos, Mikol Ruach, Shome Yado. Okay, that's also not our sugya. So the third one is really what we're going to talk about today, and the fourth. Number three is, one and two really aren't Chukos Akum. Number three is Chukos Akum. In other words, relates to a Jew getting these types of haircuts. And a Jew getting these types of haircuts, even if he is not having kavana for Avodah Zarah in any way, is still going to be aser because of Chukos Akum. Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, Halach Aleph, which we've already read several times, writes, after talking about Lo Yilbash B'Malbash HaMiyuchad Lahem, he says, the Lo Yigadel Tzitzis Rosho Kamo Tzitzis Rosham, Lo Yigaleach Menat Zdadim, V'yaniach Hasar Be'amtza Kamo Shein Osin, V'zeh Hanik Reblorius, Lo Yigaleach Hasear Mikineged panav may ozen the ozen v'yaniach haper milacharav keder shein ozen. So what does this mean? So there are two big machloksin over here that the Bais Yosef discusses in terms of Havana the Rambam and Havana the Sugya. The first question is, how do you touch this Rambam? Is the Rambam listing here three types of prohibited haircuts, or two types of prohibited haircuts? So the way the Beis Yosef reads it is as follows. This is a general introduction. You shouldn't have these types of haircuts. And what are these types of haircuts? There are two examples. Number one is getting igaleah, what we call bloris, which the Rambam defines as igaleach menat stadim v'aniach hasar be'emta. I don't know if this is what they meant, but if you look at all like the medieval pictures of the like, you see all the monks had like, you know, this type of haircut where, you know, the hair is going out on the side and cut off on the bottom. Or when I was in elementary school, the big style was a step, right? A blow wrist. We'll have to see if that's going to be us or. But anyway, that's the first example. And then the second example is what we call the kumi, where you have, you grow out your hair in the back. That's the way the Rambam is read by the Beis Yosef. Everybody else, I should say everybody, but most of the Mefarshim disagree, starting with the Prisha, the Bach, the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, at least most of them. And they say, no, the Rambam is actually talking about three things. Number one, Lo yigadel tzitzis rosho kemo tzitzis rosham, which is a general restriction. You can't have guys type of haircuts. And then there are two specific examples of this, namely Bloris and Kumi. Now, if you read like this, the Prisha, the Bach, and the like, then potentially there is a huge, huge chumrah, which the Bach points out, which is, if you read it like the Beis Yosef, so then we are restricting two particular haircuts, right? A Kumi haircut and a Bloris haircut. Perhaps nothing else. You know, the Rambam does keep on saying throughout these halachos kiyotzei bahem, but maybe kiyotzei bahem means, even if it applies here, it's specifically idolatrous style haircuts. And there's two in specific which are prohibited. In which case, well, if the Beis Yosef is right in his reading of the Rambam, then this halacha isn't very relevant to us. I've never really, you know, seen anybody with a Bloris or a Kumi. And good, we can move on to our next topic. However, if you read it like the Bach, so then potentially this is very relevant because the Rambam's saying you can't have a Gaish haircut. Well, what does a Gaish haircut mean? So the Bach says, Vizesh akas v'arambam lo yigadol tzitzis rosho, kimo tzitzis rosham, the who, shemigadlin aser lenoi, uliofi, kimo habisulos, derech shachatz v'gaiva, inami l'shem avod zara. So that includes getting a nice haircut, like the besulos. Sounds like the besulos might be okay with that. You know, fundamentally, women are also equally shaykh to the iser of Kubas Akum. But I guess, you know, women always get nice haircuts. Again, he's not coming to Aser et Alts Begadisha. He's coming to Aser et Alts Kubas Akum. Why is it Kubas Akum? Because traditionally, men didn't get these nice haircuts. So if women, if a man does, what's he doing? He's copying the guy by getting a nice haircut. That's exactly what the Rambam says, according to the Bach. So getting a nice haircut would be an iser do, right? So possibly of Fukuzako, which is quite an extraordinary iser.
Is that any worse than using a mirror?
We'll see mirrors when we get to Begadisha. Begadisha, you might be in violation of Begadisha for looking in a mirror. We'll talk about that when we get there. But this is a different thing. This is a violation of Chukos Akum by getting nice haircuts. There's a fellow I know who told me that he gets his hair done at Vidal Sassoon. So not like the original one. So he says, haircut there, I don't remember what he told me. I think it costs like $500 for a man's haircut. So he gets it done for free because he's related to Sassoon. I don't know if anyone's name is Sassoon and you go to Vidal's haircut place, salon, and you tell them that, oh, I'm also Sassoon, they give you a free haircut. But it's pretty, you know, that's it. But the point is that this is getting a nice haircut. That Megadlin Haser Lenayu Liofi, that's an Isser. The Taz reads the Rambam along these lines. And so he says, this is Sifkatan Aleph over here. Why? Because again, because this is what the Gayim do. Jews don't get nice haircuts, Jews get functional haircuts. Gayim, Chedera Chodi Kochan Bali Mochamos, Baharbe Medinos, Legadel, Sar Shelahem, the Ode. They have long hair in the back, not just in the back. They just don't get haircuts. I don't know, warriors. He says that's included in Megadle Bloris, which is interesting. Note, by the way, the Lashon, Che'asru Chachamim, we're going to get back to that point in a moment. So we're talking about the Reis of Rabbanan. He says, Che'bechlal Megadle Bloris She'asru Chachamim. Va'afal pi shachar kachazu peir she'acher, find it included in this. Come on, Chad Taimahu. Shaklalu, Shiesh Lisrael, Havdil Mayam, Mali Bekach, Mali Bekach. In other words, the Rambam already told us we have to dress differently. So if we're getting Gaiish haircuts, it's a Sudaraisa. Kiamedinos Chalukos Mim and Hagam Bezah, everybody has its own minute, like we said before. And then he quotes the Beis Yosef and he says, Udachuk, Ve'oid. And even he even approvingly quotes his father-in-law, which is like a verity. Okay, wow. So that's one issue. Now, we already saw, even though the Bach has this big chumra, maybe there's a tzad lahakal from the other Bach, the Bach by Karpel Malchus, that says you're only over, at least only over in a doraisa when you're miskaden lizdamos ben. You're saying, like, just like them, if I'm doing it, I want to do it that way. If I just want to look nice, it might be mutter. So for the Bach, we might have a little bit of a pesha asura, a pesha hitir, as we saw right at the beginning from that chazamish. So that's one issue. How do you read the Rambam? How do you read the Rambam? As when the Rambam says, the Rambam talking about three categories or two categories, does the Rambam have this broad iser of nice, of being the dam elohen in our haircuts?
By the way, I think the mohawk haircut could count as the blurries.
Maybe, yeah.
And that's you see that today, people go around with mohawk haircuts.
Okay, good, good. I agree. Okay, the second issue in the Rambam, how to read the Rambam, or not in the, not the Rambam, but there's a machlokas, the Beis Yosef points out between the Rambam and Rashi about what the bloris is. Is the bloris the same or different than kumi? So Rambam clearly says bloris and kumi are two separate things. Bloris is the mohawk, as Moshe is suggesting, and kumi is the hair in the back. Rashi in a number of places sounds like it's the same thing. Rashi sometimes gives a little different definition, but Rashi in Kiddushin and Baba Kama says that bloris is kumi. In other words, they're mistaper milafnehem, umeshayim bloris meachore arpa. So bloris and kumi mean growing the hair long in the back. The Beis Yosef says, oh, this is what the Spaniards rely on. Apparently the Spaniards get the mohawk haircuts, or the, what they call them, the step haircuts, the bowl haircuts, you know, where you have a bowl and then you cut around the bowl. So that's what the Spaniards do, which would be blurious for the Rambam. So it must be that they rely on Rashi. So he thinks that this is a machlokas, but he says that it's not right to follow Rashi against the Rambam. And that's why in Shulchan Aruch he passes the Chumra, despite what the Spaniards do. The Bach over here brings a raya for his position. Remember, we had the Taras Kohanim that says three things. The first one was lo tanchor, right? Lo tanchor, lo tegadol tzitzis rosham, and lo tesaper kumi. So we are trying to figure out what does tanchor mean. We saw in the Taras in the Ravid that it means sort of to beautify yourself. But the Bach over here says no. Lo tanchor means bloris. That's why. Otherwise, it's fair. Why does he leave it out? Why does the Taras Kohanim leave it out? And then these are the three things that the Rambam says. In other words, he's saying, what's the core for the Rambam? How did the Rambam get this? Answer is, right, the Rambam says there's, if you read it like the Bach, the Frisha, so where, what's the core for the Rambam? It's true, we've seen the Rambam be quite creative in this sugya, but still, what's the core for the Rambam? So there, it's straight Taras Kohanim if you read it the way the Bach reads it. The Rambam says there's three things, and those are the three things that are in the Taras Kohanim. Lo Tanchor, meaning bloris, lo tegadol tzitzis rosham, and lo tesaper kumi. He just changes the order. That's where the Bach reads it. On the other hand, the Beis Yosef brings a raya for Rashi Shita from the Gemara that says that there are 400 children of David that were the children of what's it called, Eishes Sifas Toar, and they were Megado, Bloris, and Kumi. Now, if you look like the Rambam, it's hard to do both of them at the same time. That works better for Rashi. On the other hand, he points out, the Beis Yosef, that there's a Tosefta that's more or less explicit, like Rambam. There's a very interesting comment of the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos of Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, which is interesting, and first of all, in terms of his definition of bloris, and then another side chiddush that's very fascinating that comes up. So the Rambam writes that bloris, who Sarah Shemenichim be'emtza rosh, Megalchin, Masha Svivosav, can be called hatzdatim. V'zeh ha'ofen min hagiluach aser b'torasenu gamkein. K'dei shelo nidam lahen, aval ein chayavin alav malkos, elim kein gilea hapeos. So this is the Rambam Lashitasso in terms of his definition of loiris, but it is a major steer in the Rambam. Remember, the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah said, what? You do get malkos on this. Here the Rambam writes, you don't get malkos. So why don't you get malkos? So the Beis Yosef, first of all, notes that there is a steer here in the Rambam. He thinks that the Iker is like the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, but it would seem like he changed his mind. But what did he think originally? So the Beis Yosef says, must be that originally thought it was a lav shebechlalos, and if we don't get malkos. Now, if so, you could wonder what changed. Is it the pshat that the nature of the Isser changed? In other words, originally he thought that it was lav shebechlalos, more along the lines of the Iraim, perhaps, that there are a number of specific prohibitions that the Torah restricted, like blois and kumi and this and that, and therefore it's a lav shebechlalos. And then he originally said, then he changed his mind. He said, no, there's this one general Isser of lisnamos levayim with lots of applications. Or is it the pshat that his havana, so that would be saying his havana of the lav changed. Alternatively, we could say his havana of what constitutes a lav shebechlalos changed. In other words, he originally thought lav shebechlalos meant anything with multiple applications that are very different from each other. And then he said, no, as long as it could all be included in one general lav, it's a lav shebechlalos. Not clear what it is. Another possibility, which we could think about, which is why did he, what was his original view? Maybe the reason why originally at least thought you didn't get malchus is because he thought these were derabanan. Is there any reason to imagine that the Rambam originally thought it was derabanan? So there is. So this is, again, not the way the Beis Yosef learned the Peshav Mishnayis, but there is from the Chukas HaRambam, Simon Reish Mem Dal that I sent you guys today. The Rambam over there was asked, you know, basically, how do you get a kosher haircut? And the Rambam talks about various issues, including peos. But in terms of what's relevant to us, he writes that tisporis hachelak kadmi shel arosh levad, o achore levad, o kafas atosefes, benagas arbemza, and all the things that we've seen in the Rambam, via nikris bloris, v'chein tisporis b'amza arosh levad, kol ze aser, defrei sofrim. Ooh. Now, defrei sofrim, as we know from the Rambam, is a very complex word. Divrei Sofrim might sometimes mean the way Chazal interpreted the Psukim, and sometimes it means Dirabana. So, unclear. But that might be a reason not to get Malkos. Either because whether it's Dirabana, and certainly then you wouldn't get regular Malkos, or even maybe because it's not Meforsh Bakra. We'll get back to that. Lefi, Shehu, Menhagam, Shogayim, Ha'asar, B'derech Klal. Well, clear. He quotes the Pesukim. Lashon of lo hetiruhu, I'd also suggest that we're dealing with the Rabbanan. Is there matir the Yisr? That could be matir the Yisr. Based on this question, we'll see other answers in a second. But I would say the simplest reading of this Rambam alone might suggest that we are dealing with a din derabanan, especially if you're not perhaps intending to copy them when getting this haircut. That might be another reason why in the Perishim Shnaisi thought it was you don't get malkos. So you don't get malkos, according to Beis Yosef, because it's lash b'chalos, or perhaps in light of the Chukas of Rambam, because of Divrei Sofrim. But, as I said, in Mishnah Torah, one way or the other, he does say you do get malkos. So what do the poskim say about this question in terms of getting these types of haircuts? So there's a tshuva from a Vavadia, a couple of tshuvos. The easiest one to do is Yechavadas, Chelik Beisim, and Beis. And he quotes the poskim on this. He starts off by noting that getting a nice haircut, Gidul Seyar, Shekineged Panav, Lenoy, Leyofi, is going to be mutter for the Rambam, as long as you don't do the bluest or the back one. But then he notes that there are many, many machmirim on this question, including the Bach, the Taz, the Prisha, the Chida from a number of people, including Rav David Korilandi. Rav David Korilandi, who was railed against the Bachurim that are nichshal in this, that they get nice haircuts and you have to be mochiach them. Ulay yishmu v'yashuvu. The Sefer Shulchan Gavoa is machmir. The Machtes HaShekel is machmir. He also thinks it's a problem with tefillin and chatzitza. Rabbi Eliezer David, Karen David is machmir. Shuvos Tarshish Shoam is machmir. The Gra on Arsim in this Pashtus machmir. So we have a lot of machmirim. Is anybody's makel besides the Beis Yosef? So he quotes Shuvos Beis Yehuda, who says we should follow the Beis Yosef. And basically he says, makes sense, because the only answers were trying to copy the Gayim, the Li Shum To'elas V'Kavan Acheres. Whereas when you're just trying to look good, be stylish, be fashionable, that shouldn't be Asur Al Tzulchus Akum. You're not trying to copy them. Thinks the Pri Chadash is Mekel. The Pri Chadash Shita is a little complex. It's not quite either Shita. It's his own Mahalach here, but more or less comes out Lekula, as well as the Kuntrus Zivchei Tzedek. Okay? So what do we Paskan L'maisa? It's an interesting case, because you know Rav Avadia is very into following Rove Poskim. And as the overwhelming majority of Poskim that he cites are all Machmir and Neshayla. However, he is Mako, Nikaradin. And the reason is because the minhag is to be Mako. Vinira, he writes at the end when he's Mako, Sha'af al pi she'en limchos b'misha noig l'gad al se'a rosh k'neg panav mikol makom tov v'nachon l'achos d'v'en machirim ulekatzer se'a rosh kol ma she'efsha, short as possible. But Nikaradin, there are a number of factors to be Mekel. Number one is Maran is Mekel. Number two is Minag is to be Mekel in many places. But better certainly to be Machmir. When the Chevron Yeshiva had to leave Chevron after the riots in 1929, they moved to Yerushalayim. And the Yerushalmis were very troubled by their overt violation of Chukos Akum by being Megadol Ploris. I mean, they're like beige suits and gray hats were bad enough. But also, if you look, this will be coming up to the next sugya, but if you look at the pictures, that their payas were very short. I mean, they weren't just here. They were, if you look at the pictures. So there are a lot of things. But anyway, they had chups. Chups Isser Dairaisa. As I said, there are additional issues of Chatzitza, which that Tshuva from Rav Avadia also deals with. The Mishnah Berurah brings it down. He's not so into it, having long hair and the like. But I think that Lahalacha, we are Mako for a combination of two factors. Number one is based off of the Beis Yosef's idea. It's not, and number two is based off of the Bach. In other words, even though the Bach is Machmir and Shiloh, the Bach, as we'll see also, and as we saw the Chazon Ish accepts, is only Machmir when your Kavanah is and therefore, just like we said, you know, we've discussed that there's ample grounds to be Mako for dressing stylishly, even if it's not pashut. So to here, if your haircut is just trying to be stylish, then that would be okay. But at the same time, you know, we do see that there's also, what to be said for getting simple haircuts, put it that way.
That is an
So they grow their hair and they cut their hair, but it's nothing to do with being like the Goyim. It has to do with being, and others, I don't think Goyim also, except for homeless people, like don't get any haircuts. So never cutting your hair isn't really a violation of Chukos HaKol. I understand you're asking for that Tosefes that the Taz says, that the warriors grow long hair. But I don't know if that means never cutting your hair at all. So, yeah.
This is an event that basically brings up Rava. He said that Tainu Mishun Roshim will just become Balaya. Okay, Mishun Yashir will start with the McDonald's line. I mean, it sounds like you're saying that it's not because they don't record a summer. It's also McDonald's. We have just another sound, go ahead. Just back to that point.
Yeah. Yeah, which goes hand in hand with the reading of the Beis Yosef. I mean, the Psak of the Beis Yosef.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is issue number one. If you want to take a look at the Tefillin issue, take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, Simen Chav Zayin Sifkat and Tes Vav. Okay. Now the second issue, this is the fourth place where Bloris comes up in Shas, is the Heter of Karv L'Malchus. So there are a number of places in Shas where this hatter comes up. In Bava Kama, Pei Gimel Medalev, the Gemara says you can't teach your children a Chachmas Yevanis. And then it says, well, one second, they used to do that in the household of Rabbi Leo. And the Gemara says, no, that was okay because they're Korban L'Malchus. And it continues and says, because if you didn't say that, then how did they get these type of haircuts, kumi haircuts, that are otherwise usher? Now, significantly, Tosfos over here points out that it's not, well, let's read the Tosfos. Hetiru l'saper kumi. Note also the Lashon of Hetiru. So this is, again, for people that were based from Lamliel, Karv L'Malchus. Metchila lo gazru. Krovim l'malchus. Hetiru doesn't mean that they were matir, as it wasn't iser that they were matir, but rather that it was never bechlal the iser. Now, lo gazru certainly is a little bit rabbanan sounding. The whole concept of hetiru is rabbanan sounding, but certainly this lashon of metchila lo gazru. Akrovim l'malchus, right? Probably not like either of the tzadim in the Beis Yosef. So metchila lo gazru akrovim l'malchus, the who hayaragil kedash kandim ila shehalach av tumus ben ruvein argirs and mila is a slightly different name, sort of reversed. The siper kumi shelo yakiru shu yehudi. So there was a gzeira. This is the Gemara Me'ilah, Yedzayin, Amud Aleph, on the base. Very, very moving story over there. There was a decree against Shabbos, Nida, and Mila, and Rav Ruvein ben Esterovli went, and he cut his hair like the Kumi, and he dressed up to look like a guy, and he basically convinced the Romans that it wasn't in their best interest to have these gzeiros. You know, you hate the Jews, so if you aser nida, then you're going to have more children. And so you should get, and you, you know, Shabbos, they're going to become poor. So why should you ban Shabbos? If you really want to get rid of the Jews, you should encourage them to keep Shabbos and the like. So he talked them out of it, except then they found out he was Jewish, and they reinstated them. And so Rashbi came with the help of a shade and rescinded the Gzeira miraculously. And that's a different story. Maybe we'll get to the discussion in Shulchan Aruch Kafayim Tess, where is a question of whether you're allowed to use shade to help you in your affairs. But anyway, that's a different issue. So so that's another Gemara where we have an example of Karv L'Malchus. The Gemara in Tainus, Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, we had that story about the person who dressed up like a guy to try to, you know, he helped the women in jail and also to be Mevat El Zeraus story in Kiddushin, Ayin Vav on the base that we just mentioned, David Amel's children. So we have a number of stories which seem to fall under this heter of Karov Lamalchus, and this, of course, is passing in Dinar Simen, Kafayim Ches, Sif base. Now, the big question is, how is it mutter? Right? How could we just be matir what would seem to be an Isser Deraisa? The Rambam simply says, Yisrael Shei Karov Lamalchus V'tzarch Leishev Lifnei Malcheihem, the Hayalo Ganai, we'll see the Lashon of Ganai might be interesting. L'fishal Yidam Lahan, Harezem Mutter, Lobosh B'mabushen, L'galech K'neged Panav, K'derech Shehen Osin. So the big question is, how's this Mutter? What happened to the Isser De'oraisa? So the first possibility is to say this is Pikuach Nefesh. Now, it's not so simple, because the Gemara, as we mentioned, and Me'ila applies this to Xera against Nida, Shabbos, Taras Mishpacha, so that's not Pikuach Nefesh. So maybe, but if the Xera wasn't rescinded, people would do it anyway, and they would get killed. Maybe it was a Shas HaShmad. The Beis Yosef, in his first answer, seems to give this approach, but he says it in an interesting way. He doesn't say Pikuach Nefesh. Again, his question is, how can we match Nisa D'Oraisa? So the Hanach of the question is, we're dealing with Nisa D'Oraisa. We know it's Nisa D'Oraisa. Rambam says, Yochai Malkus. So his answer is Hatzalas Yisrael. Is that the same thing as Pikuach Nefesh? Not sure. Maybe it's a little bit different. First of all, these things are sort of maybe a little far-fetched, some of these schemes to be matir. Hatzalas Yisrael, there's a Meiri in Sanhedrin, who's trying to explain how Yael and Esther could do what they did, even though they, Gilei Arayos is one of the Shalosh Chamuros, and the Meiri says that, you know why this is mutter? Hatzalas Yisrael. So this is a different type of kula. Here, we're avor Hatzalas Yisrael, we're violating a rav, even if it's not mamish pikuach nefesh. But, so I don't know, I didn't see anyone who makes that sushtel. There's a famous tshuva from the cook about Hatzalas Yisrael, it's very interesting. But anyway, I think pashtus, probably what the Beis Yosef means is pikuach nefesh. But it could be that the parameters are a little different because you're acting on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And that's why he uses this lashon of Hatzalas Yisrael. That's answer number one of the Beis Yosef. Answer number two of the Beis Yosef is Masvar Kas L'Chachamim, meaning to say that the Torah formulated the prohibition of Chukzakim in a very vague way. Don't act like the guy. And Masvar Kas L'Chachamim to define that. And therefore they said, well, Karv L'Malchus isn't included. Now, this concept also could be understood in two ways. One is Masvar Kas L'Chachamim in a very literal sense. Now, there's a Torah that gave this concept and said, you Chachamim define what's Aser or Mutter. Maybe that's what's happening in Chol HaMoed, according to some Rishonim. There are a lot of places, a couple that are explicit, and then many more that some poskim apply this idea, that whenever there's a vague concept, it's the Torah leaves it to the Chachamim to define. Is it the pshat that they could do whatever they want, or is it the pshat that they're trying to figure out, like, ratzon ha-Torah, kavanas ha-Torah, and these matters? But one way or the other, they understood or decided that Karv L'Malchus shouldn't be included. Those are the first two approaches, the two approaches of Beis Yosef. The Bach has a third approach, which we already referred to earlier. He says, no, the pshat is that you're only usher when you're mechavin lidamos. So if you're trying to save Klal Yisrael, even though to save Klal Yisrael, and doesn't have to be pikuach nefesh, if your goal, though, is to help Klal Yisrael, you're doing shtadlanas. So you're not trying, I mean, you are trying to look like the Gayim, but you're not trying to look like the Gayim to look like the Gayim. You're trying to look like the Gayim to save Klal Yisrael. So that's why it's mutter. And that's why he notes that the Rambam's Lashon, as we said, is pretty... is like, you know, so you won't feel uncomfortable in their presence. Shall you ignai? So that's the heter. And that's why the heter is, now here too, we could understand, you know, apply this broadly or narrowly. The Rambam only says it is a heter of Karv L'Malchus. On the other hand, this concept of the Bach, if we accept it fully, and assume there's no additional Issur Drabanan, would and could be applied very broadly, that the Gadar of the Issur is always when you're Kavana to be Medam Elohim. The fourth approach is that we could say that you see that all these specific applications are Drabanan. We already saw maybe a remez to that in the Chusa Rambam, and that might also be why you don't get Malkus in the Pirush Mishnayos. Is there any posek that says this? So I saw it in the Shiari Knesset HaGadola over here. Again, Lachor disagreeing with the Rambam. He writes, after rejecting the Beis Yosef, V'anachol delam d'oraisa sira elo midrabanan v'kras mach b'yama. So, again, then what is the deraisa? What is the deraisa? Maybe the deraisa is only when you are actually in somehow involved in the idolatrous practices or the like. But if it's free from idolatry, then it's only derabanan. Maybe remember we saw earlier the possibility that it's just the shabbatim and Mitzrayim. Not clear what the gedder of the deraisa is, but these particular applications would at worst be derabanan. Oh. Okay. Excellent. Where is that? Right. So assuming you take that approach, so then you still have to contend with the Issur Drabanan. But the Lashonos of Hetiru certainly sound that way. So I think that's the Mashmos, like we said, of Tosfos in Bava Kamma as well. Okay. Good. So again, Karv L'Malchus could be understood narrowly, like certainly if you say Atzas Bnei Yisrael, or literally Karv L'Malchus, or it could be understood very broadly, more along the lines, especially if we take the idea from the Bach and we expand it. Okay, I said we would go back quickly to Friday's shiur in terms of alternative medicines. So, just in terms of some interesting Amar Makomos on this topic, has in the last 10, 20 years has garnered a lot of attention, especially as alternative treatments have become more popular, even as conventional medicine has advanced in many ways. People are also becoming more aware of its limitations. So there's a couple of interesting svarim that you can look at see more on this topic. So one of them is written by someone who lives in Lakewood named Rav Rafal Shmurla. Shmurla, I think, is the way it's pronounced in English. It's spelled S-Z-M-E-R-L-A. And he wrote a book called Alternative Medicine in Halacha. And first of all, in this very extensive book, he discusses all sorts of things that are done. I haven't heard of most of them. And he's, you know, ostensibly very pro. And for our purposes, sort of to overly simplify, though it's a giant book, and certainly not doing it justice. But he says that, look, if we're talking about a treatment that doesn't relate directly to Avodah Zarah, And especially, you know, when we're dealing with the treatment that lots of people say works, so then it shouldn't fall under the asura of people saying lo seilechu. And for now, we won't address the other issues, like kishuf issues. It shouldn't fall under the asura of people saying lo seilechu. Again, as we saw, whether this is the view of the Rambam or not is unclear, but according to others, it's okay. You know, nobody, for the most part, people aren't going to treatments that they think doesn't work. They're choosing these treatments because lots and lots of people tell them that it works. Doctors, conventional doctors, for the most part, scientists are dismissive. They say that we have a scientific process and this hasn't reached the level of evidence that we consider credible. So if you're going to assume that you need the doctors, and again, even doctors is sort of unfair because, okay, they say, I'm also a doctor. I didn't go to medical school. I'm an unconventional doctor, but I'm a doctor. Who says, you can't say I'm not a doctor. The halacha doesn't, you know, follow the American Association of Medicine or whatever it is. So there are lots and lots of people that say this works. There's no connection to a lavazar, therefore it should be mutter. Other poskim are much more machmir. In English, there's the Shulchan Halevi on alternative medicine, written by, I don't think it was written by Rav Belsky, but based off of this psakim. There's another Hebrew sefer called Lo Kesem B'Yisrael. It's written by someone named Rav Yaakov Yosef Toib from Skver. And he is very machmir. And he basically adopts the approach that in light of the Rambam, you are in violation of Chukos Akum in all these cases, and not just the Rambam. He argues others as well, that... you could take it. I wasn't so convinced by his arguments. Though, on the other hand, Midei Safek Lo Nafka, certainly, as we talked about in Shir, Shitas HaRambam is quite ambiguous, as the Rashba notes. You know, for me, besides this sort of what we mentioned at the end of Shir last time, though I was rushing to say it, I think there's besides the formal issue, there's another very significant danger, which is that when these things are done in a way, instead of conventional medicine, in a way that people are forgoing conventional medicine, medical treatments, and endangering themselves in that way. So there's a very big difference between doing something extra versus doing something instead, when ultimately the Torah seems to say you do follow Rov, and a person doesn't have the right to sort of choose their own treatment. The second thing is, and this isn't always true, but it's something to think about a little bit, is bitachon. The Rambam, the Rashba, both invoke Tamim Tia Hashem Elokecha in this context. And one of the interesting things that the Chazon Ish writes about when defining bitachon, so the Chazon Ish says, bitachon certainly does not mean not to do a shtatlus. And oftentimes, bitachon doesn't mean that if you have bitachon, you'll be saved. So what does bitachon mean? If a person goes ahead and you can't distinguish between, let's say, someone who's botech and not botech, they might both do the same level of ishtadlah. So bitachon is much more about attitude and recognizing that, therefore, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not from the medicines, as the Rashba in that long tshuva over here discusses. He discusses how kavana makes a big difference in terms of even violation of the Yisr. But one thing that the Rashba says, sorry, the Chazon Ish emphasizes, and you see this in Chazal, is that a reflection of a lack of bitachon is a sort of a trying, far-fetched, desperate measures. In other words, the hishtadlos that we're supposed to do is to do the appropriate hishtadlos. When a person goes ahead, so we do our hishtadlos and we daven, and then we trust. If Hashem wants us to live, we'll live, and if not, not. To go ahead and do things that are far-fetched, and far-fetched is certainly hard to define. So that reflects a lack of bitachon. In fact, that's how he explains the famous Rashi with Yosef and the Sar HaMashkin. So he explains, if you look at the Pshat and Rashi, it's a very beautiful Pshat and Rashi. He says, what's the Pshat? Why wasn't that Ishtablos? He says, to rely on Mitzrim, to rely, you know, who you hear knew who Sar HaMashkin was. Exactly what he turned out to be, a duplicitous, self-serving person, a Rasha. And to rely on people like that is desperation. And desperation does indicate a lack of bitachon. And that's, I think, another interesting thing to think about in this topic, which is obviously much broader. So I'd like to go on to the next sugya tomorrow, I think. Is that, are we ready for that? So I think we're going to skip a little bit. I'd like to, at the end of the summer, maybe get back to these issues. We already talked about a lot of the issues. And maybe, you know, but I want to leave more time for the issues that are a little more relevant. So we'll get back to some of these, I hope. So we're going to skip Kuf Ayin Tes, which is Ma'onin and Mechashef. Again, for now, hope to get back to it. We're going to skip Kuf Pei for now, which I also want to get back to, because it was Kaka. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was asked a tattoo Shaila. So we're going to start tomorrow, Kuf Pei Aleph. Hilchos Giluach. It's a short simon, but there's a lot to do. It includes both Hakafas HaRosh and Hashchasas HaZakan. So that's what we'll start tomorrow, and probably it'll take us to, you know, through the end of the week, I would guess. Maybe 2, 3, 4 days, I'm not sure exactly. I'll send you out my comments for that, and I'll see you tonight, Be'ezus Hashem, at 7:30-ish. Okay. No, your name.
It's the Jack. How to put it that.